But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, as others which have no hope are awakened again.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For with this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, please bless now the reading of thy word. We pray that, Father, thy word would have free course into everyone that hears it this morning. And we pray that, Father, it would accomplish the purpose that you have for them in their life. We pray for those who have no confidence in Christ, that do not have eternal salvation, that they may come to know the Lord. And we pray that, God, that you be with your people, encourage them as they keep their eyes open for the return of the King. Just bless now, Father. Fill thy servant with thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible is very clear that there is going to be a day when millions of people are going to disappear. The rapture is an event that people who put their trust in Jesus will be suddenly caught up to heaven and taken into heaven by Jesus Christ. The word rapture comes from a Latin word called rapiamur, which means to carry away, to snatch, to catch up. The second coming of Jesus Christ is mentioned in 260 chapters of the New Testament and contains 318 references. The second coming of Jesus is mentioned on two stages. First, the rapture. That means that the rapture is a time when Christ will come to the clouds, the dead in Christ, the bodies of the dead of those in Christ will be raised and resurrected and joined together with the souls that have been in heaven for whatever time there was. And then the second coming is when Jesus literally come to the earth and he will take and rule and reign the earth and deal with many at the battle of Armageddon. Now the Lord Jesus will remove, that means rapture, his people from the earth so that they will escape what is called the tribulation period. The tribulation period is that time period of 7 years which will start after the rapture and will culminate with the return of Christ. That 7 years will be a time of great horror, great misery, great death upon the earth. And the Bible teaches in Revelation 3:10, the Word of God says, "But thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." This time that will come upon the entire earth is the great tribulation period. But the Bible teaches that the church, the bride of Christ, will be rescued and they will not go through that terrible, horrible day that is coming on the earth. This morning, I would like to preach to you on the rapture. On the rapture. And we're going to take a look at what the Bible says is going to take place upon the believers and the church of Christ. So number one, the first thing I'm going to say about the rapture is the rapture can happen at any moment. There are no signs that have to take place for the rapture. This is called the doctrine of imminency. What does that mean? The doctrine of imminency means that at any time Christ can come back. There is no sign that has to take place for that to happen. There are many signs that will take place for the second coming of Christ, which takes place 7 years after the rapture. For this rapture, there is no signs at all. But as I said many times before, if we are beginning to see signs of the second coming, that means the rapture cannot be that far away. So whatever the things are going on in the world, and we mentioned that on previous sermons, even of what's happening right now with this virus and the pandemic, because the Bible teaches there will be pandemics. There will be wide world, throughout the entire world, there will be suffering and going on because of illness and disease. That is part of the tribulation period, one of the many things that are coming. So if we're seeing things like that now, it's just letting us know that the rapture is soon to be coming. Number two, as I talk about the rapture, the Bible teaches the rapture will be a surprise. It will be a surprise. In the book of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, I have no need to write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." I want you to notice there, a thief in the night, a surprise. We watch out for people that claim that they know the date of the rapture. There's been people claiming that for hundreds and hundreds of years and have been wrong every single time. No one knows the date of the rapture. No one knows the date of the second coming. The Lord Jesus, in his sermon on Bible prophecy, said these words. He said, "But of the day and the hour knoweth no man." This is Matthew 24, 36 to 39. "But of the day and the hour knoweth no man." No, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So the Bible's very clear. No one knows the day and the hour but the Father. The Father knows the day and the hour. But as the days of Noah, that generation called the antediluvian age, okay, in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible talks about that age, the age of great wickedness and great sin and rebellion and evil and violence upon the earth. And we already have that now. So the Bible says that as the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the days when the Lord Jesus will come back and when judgment is about to fall. And the Bible says here that Noah entered the ark and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. It was a complete surprise. And that is going to be what the rapture will be. There will be a surprise. Not knowing when Jesus will come will spur us and cause us to be ready at any time. We do not know the day and the hour, but we should be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ and what he said in his prayer to the Father. He said, the teaching his disciples, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We should be praying for the kingdom to come. What is that all about? When Jesus will return at the second coming and establish his kingdom on the earth, physical appearing of Christ, and on the earth, ruling the nations of the world from Jerusalem. That is what the Bible teaches. So the rapture will be a surprise. It'd be like coming a thief in the night. And a thief in the night means that the thief never gives warning when he's going to come. He just shows up. It's a complete surprise. And that is what's going to happen with the rapture. The rapture will be a complete surprise, hidden from the world. And the only ones that know about it will be those believers who are taken up at that time. Now, we take a look at the third one. The third thing about the rapture is that the rapture will take place suddenly. The rapture will take place suddenly. The Apostle Paul, in writing about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, said this in verse 51 and 52. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I show you a mystery. That means something that is hidden and now is being revealed, that we shall not all sleep. What does that mean, sleep? The Bible teaches a word, sleep, when it's referring to Christians. Death is not like death. It's a sleep for the body. The body goes into the grave, but the soul goes to be in heaven. Okay, it's never referred to those who are non-believers. When it says that non-believers die, they die. In other words, that they don't have eternal life. And though there will be a resurrection of those who do not know Christ, one day there will be a resurrection for them. The Apostle Paul was writing over and saying, listen, we're not all going to sleep, but we're all going to be changed. What is that talking about? It's talking about the rapture. The Bible is teaching a time when we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. How fast will the rapture take place? When it sounds, what is it going to be like? It says in a twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye does not mean blinking of your eye. That's too slow. Okay? A twinkling of an eye means the measurement. The twinkling of an eye takes place in 11 one-hundredths of a second. Okay? It will take place in a nanosecond. It's going to happen suddenly. There's not going to be any warning. Everybody's going to be doing whatever they're doing in life, and all of a sudden this is going to take place. Example, if you are saved and you're driving a car, the car is going to be driverless. In other words, cars are going to be smashing into things. If you have a bus driver who is a Christian, when the rapture takes place, the bus is just going to go off and go wherever. If you are an airplane pilot and all of a sudden the rapture takes place, there's not going to be anybody at the controls. And if you go to sleep with your mate and you're not saved and the mate is saved, all of a sudden you'll wake up and all of a sudden your mate's not going to be there. Children are going to be missing. Infants, small children, everyone under the age of accountability will be all of a sudden taken out of the world. If you're a person on a boat, you're in the Navy, and all of a sudden the rapture takes place, all of a sudden people are going to be missing in the Army, in the Navy, the police department, and various areas of our world. The Bible is trying to stress here that it's going to be suddenly. It's suddenly. Let me read it again. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. In other words, those who are believers in Jesus, their body's going to be in the grave. But the Bible says that God's going to reform those bodies. All the dust and all the remnants of their bodies will be put together and have a glorious body. And they will be reunited again with their souls, which have been in heaven all those years. And put together, and then the Bible says, we shall be changed. In other words, people that are alive at the rapture, they're going to be changed. And we'll mention more of it in just a few minutes. So we find out that rapture will be a surprise. It's going to take the whole world by surprise. There's going to be tremendous shock. Can you imagine right now with this crisis of this virus going on and all the anxiety and worry and that is going on in the world? Imagine the rapture happening right now. What would happen? The whole world will go berserk. The whole world will be so uneven in their minds and their hearts. And then we take a look at the fourth thing. Now, the fourth thing is very important. The rapture will be a selective event. The rapture will be a selected event. In all three major passages from the Bible that teach about the rapture, it makes it very, very clear that the rapture involves only believers in Jesus Christ, including children, small children. It will only happen and take place for those who have put their trust in Christ as their personal Savior. Let me give you a few verses of Scripture here. In John chapter 14, in verse 1, Jesus was speaking to his disciples shortly before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and was betrayed by Judas and then arrested. We find out that in this passage here took place in the upper room. After Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper, communion, he said these words, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I want to challenge you. If you're a believer in Christ and you have been going through time, like we all are, of uncertainty, and you may be going through a time where you're worried and not knowing what's going to happen, Jesus said, "Let your heart not be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me." God gives a promise here that he'll be with you. The Bible says, "Peace I give unto you, peace I leave unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Okay? The Bible teaches here that we should have peace and confidence that God is in control. And if we believe in God, believe in Jesus. But in John 14, verse 2, he says these words after telling them to rest in him and trust him and believe in him. He said, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." The Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ for these last 2,000 years is up in the Father's house in heaven. And he's been preparing places for his people. And every time someone is getting saved, there's another place being prepared. And there's another place being prepared. He says, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions." He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus would have told us if it was not so. But in verse 3 of John chapter 14 says, "And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Bible teaches here that if he talks about the Father's house, he talks about preparing something, a place for them. He talks about being sure and confident in him and believing in him as you believe in God. He says, "If I go away, I'm coming again." One of the great truths in the Bible that has been steadfast over these millenniums is Jesus says, I'm coming back again. The first time he came in all humility. He came and was born as a baby in a barn, basically, a cave, and for peasants. And he lived his life in quietness and without any fanfare. And at the age of 30, the Lord Jesus began to tell everybody who he was and what he came into this world to do. He told his disciples on numerous occasions that he was going to Jerusalem and that he would be betrayed, and he was, and that they would crucify him, and they did. But on the third day, he will rise again. The Lord Jesus Christ said that, and when he ascended up into heaven, before he went up, he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel to every creature. That was the command. That is our marching orders, to go and tell the world about Jesus. Now, he came the first time in humility and in meekness, but the next time he's coming with all glory and power to rule this world with a rod of iron. He's going to make things right, and all the things that have been wrong, he's going to straighten it out. He's going to make sure that everyone that tried to get away with things and did get away with things, he will correct them. So we find out from this verse 3 of John 14, he says, I will come again. And that's what the rapture is about. He's coming to the clouds to take his family, his bride, the church, home to be with him. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, the Bible says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. The Lord Jesus was the first fruit. That means he's the first of many that are coming. And what is that talking about? He's talking about the resurrection from the dead. How do we know there's going to be a resurrection? Because Jesus rose again from the dead. Jesus rose again from the dead. And if Jesus rose again from the dead, he's giving us an encouragement that all believers in Christ will be raised up together at the time which we call the rapture. And when will this all take place? At his coming. We're all waiting for Jesus to return. And the Bible gives another text, what was the one that I read when we started. That is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Let me read it. He writing to the church at Thessalonica, born-again believers. And the born-again believers were going through a problem. And the problem was that there was false teaching going on, that Jesus already returned. And people started worrying about their loved ones that were saved, that have been buried, wondering if they'll ever see them again. Well, the Bible says in verse 13, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. He was writing to, and he mentions the word brethren. That means he's writing to Christians. Brethren are men and women who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. He said, listen, I'm writing to you concerning those who have died in Jesus. In other words, they're asleep, like what I said before. Okay, when a Christian dies, you don't have to say goodbye. I'll see you in a little while. Because if you're a Christian and a Christian dies, you're going to see them again. And it says here that you sorrow not. Do not sorrow like people who do not have relatives that are saved. Don't you worry like that. We have a hope. And it says in verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. In other words, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, you have believed that he rose again from the dead, and you put your trust in him, you'll realize that those loved ones that are dead, those who died and went to be with the Lord, you're going to see them again, because God's going to bring them back. Verse 15, if we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. What does that mean? That if you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, at the rapture, the first people who go up are those that are dead in Christ. Okay, that means their souls are in heaven, their bodies in the grave. They go first. And then it says in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We find out in verse 16, the dead in Christ, those who have lived, received Christ, and died, their bodies are in the grave. They're asleep. That's what the Bible talks about them. And the Bible says their souls are going to meet together, and they will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain, that means believers who are alive at the time of the rapture, okay, that are alive, like if it happened right now, the Bible says shall be caught up together. In other words, they're going to disappear. It's going to happen quickly. As we said before, 11/100ths of a second, a nanosecond. All of a sudden, they're going to disappear, and we're going to meet them with the clouds. Those that are dead in Christ, their bodies come out. We're going to meet with them and the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 18, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." These are the most comforting words in the Bible. One of the most comforting words in the Bible is an event called the rapture. All of us that are believers have friends and fellow and relatives that trusted Christ, and they've been bodies been put in the graves, but their souls are in heaven. We're going to see them again. There's going to be great reunion again. So the Bible teaches here the rapture will be a selective event. The rapture will be a selected event. Not everyone is going to be raptured on the earth. Only believers in Christ are going to experience this wonderful. And what my next point is, the rapture will be spectacular. Look at verse 16 again. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Oh, there's going to be a shout. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be a mighty shout of God. A ringing with commanding authority. The voice of an archangel. Like the voice of an archangel. And the Bible says here that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds. The Bible says there's going to be a shout. The voice of the archangel with the trump of God. What does it mean, the trump of God? Trumpets were used in the Old Testament. They were used for many different reasons. But one of the reasons they used trumpets was to assemble, the troops. So when it was time for the troops to assemble, there would be a trumpet sound and people will assemble. Well, I'll tell you what, the Bible teaches that there's going to be a shout, there's going to be a trumpet blast, and the troops and the servants of God are going to be organized and getting together at this special time. Remember the song, "Onward Christian Soldiers," as we're going off to war? Well, the Bible teaches that every one of us that knows Christ, we're to be soldiers for Jesus. And when this trumpet sounds and goes, it'll be an assembly of a large group of people who are going to be going to heaven. That sound will only be heard by believers. Unsaved people will not hear this. Only those that are believers in Jesus Christ. You know, the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1, which is the rapture, I believe. The first three chapters, okay, talk about what was going on then and in the past, what was going on then in chapters 2 and 3. But when we get to chapter 4, the Bible says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter." When Jesus ascended up into heaven 2,000 years ago, after he rose again from the dead, he spent 40 days on the earth showing people and those who knew him all these infallible proofs, as the Bible says, that it was he who rose from the dead and alive forevermore. And Jesus ascended up in a cloud into heaven. And since that time, he's been seated on the throne of the right hand of God. And there's going to be a day when the Father will say, "Son, go get your bride. Go get your children." And he will walk down Glory Boulevard. He's going to pass Amen Square. And he will go to the gates of heaven. And then he will descend into the clouds. And then he's going to utter these words, "Come up hither to me." And the saints of God will be resurrected that are dead, that are resurrected. And those of us who are alive and remain shall be gathered together with him. And he's going to lead a large, large flock of sheep into heaven. He, being the shepherd, is going to lead the way. And we're going to go right down to that celestial city, past Amen Square and Glory Boulevard, right up to the very throne of God. And he's going to sit down and he's going to tell his Father, "This is my bride." And he's going to show us off. The coming of Christ, the rapture, will be something spectacular, something to look forward to. So every single day you should be looking forward to the Master coming for us. And you know what, folks? It can happen at any time. Now, as we close this sermon, how should we live as believers? If we believe Jesus died and rose again, if we believe that he's coming back, how should we be living? Let me just give you a few things. If you're a believer in Christ, you should be looking for the Lord to come every single day. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, a verse that I love so much. It says, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to take a look at that word, look, for a minute. The word look here is a verb, and it has an atmosphere of expectation, readiness to welcome the person that you're looking for. Every single day of your life, you're a believer. You should be looking for Jesus to return. With all the problems in the world, all the problems in life, and all the stress that goes on, you may never face what's going to happen tomorrow because Jesus is coming again. Looking for that blessed hope. Look with expectancy. Jesus, are you coming today? I'm going to live for you today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20 says, for our conversation, the word conversation there doesn't mean what's coming out of your mouth. In that verse there, properly translated, means citizenship. For our conversation or citizenship is in heaven. For hence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to look for Him. Our citizenship is not of this world. Our citizenship, if you're a believer in Christ, is heaven. Heaven is our home. And we're to look for our Savior every single day. So the first thing we should do is look for the Lord's return. Number two, we should be living for Jesus. If you're saved and you know Christ, you should be living for Him. Look at Titus chapter 2. Let's take a look at verse 11. The Bible teaches here in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. If you want salvation, it's because of the grace of God. If you're viewing this now and you don't know for sure if you die tonight, you go to heaven, I got very good news for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus bled for you. Jesus was buried for you. And Jesus rose again from the dead. It's by the grace of God we're saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not by religion. Salvation is not by the Ten Commandments. Salvation is not by baptism. The salvation is not by communion. Salvation is not by good works. Salvation is in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's by the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men. But you know what it says here in Titus chapter 2? The Apostle Paul, writing this to one of his disciples that he discipled, he said this in verse 12. In verse 12, teaching us. What does the grace of God teach us? Let me give you a few things. If you're saved, listen to me. Teaching us, denying ungodliness. What is ungodliness here? A lack of reverence for God. That's what it is. A lack of reverence for God. We live in a world that has very little reverence for God. God's name is used very often in our world. It's used in curse words and taking His name in vain. The Bible teaches that. Well, the Bible says here, the grace of God teaches you and me that we are to deny ungodliness. We are to deny that, a lack of reverence for God. In other words, have respect for God. Treat His name right. Don't use His name wrongly. Don't use it in curse words. Have respect for God. And not only does the grace of God teach us to deny ungodliness, the Bible teaches it to deny something else, worldly lust. Worldly lust. We live in a world that's controlled by Satan. Okay? This world system that we live in, okay, is controlled by Satan and his ways of doing things. Sinful pursuits, sinful pleasures, sinful practices. Don't be fooled by the God of this world, small g. And the God of this world is the dragon in Book of Revelation. And his name is Satan. It's Lucifer. It is the devil. He is a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a murderer. So the Bible teaches here that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, deny worldly lust. The Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall live and abide forever. So we find out over here we should be living for Jesus. But he tells us how we should live. It says in verse 12. It says in verse 12 and then verse 13 in Titus chapter 2, Let me read these words to you from Titus chapter 2. The Bible says here in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 13, it says this, teachers deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. Let's take that word there in verse 12. Live soberly. What does the word soberly mean? It means have a sound mind. Be discreet. Be careful. Be circumspect. Okay? In other words, be very careful. Live soberly. Listen, the world is going to hell. Okay? The world is going to hell. Things are collapsing all around the world. If it wasn't for this virus, there'd be something else going on. So live soberly. Have the right kind of mind. And then it says, live not only soberly, live godly. What does it mean to live godly? I'll tell you what it means. Be like Jesus. This is what God wants us to be. Be like Jesus. We'll never be perfect. Not in this world. He's God, and we understand that. But we should be Christian. The word Christian means Christ-like. And then in verse 12, the Bible says, live soberly, live righteously, and godly in this present world. Even in the sinful world that we live in, we are to live in a godly way, in a godly fashion. Let me close this message by two things. Number one, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to trust Him today. If you die tonight, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? You can't be 50% sure. You can't be 90% sure. You need to be 100% sure that if your life ended now, that you would go to heaven. If the rapture happened now, that you'd be taken out of this world and escape what's coming into this world. What isn't a pretty picture? What do, Pastor? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You need to open your heart to Christ. You need to acknowledge your sin to Christ. You need to acknowledge Him as the Savior. And then you need to personally trust Him to be your Savior and to forgive you of your sins and to save your soul. And you can do it today. If you are a Christian, I ask you this question to you. Are you living for Christ? Are you living for Jesus in this sinful world? Are you ready for Him to come? Do you remember Lot's wife? The Bible teaches in the book of Genesis chapter 19, when Lot was taken out of the city with his wife and two daughters, they told Lot and his wife and children, when the judgment falls, don't look back. Don't look back. And as they were being led out of the city by the two angels, when they got on the outskirts, Lot's wife looked back. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. The reason why she turned into a pillar of salt is because she disobeyed God. And the reason why she turned back is because she may be going out of the city, but her heart was in Sodom. Many believers today are playing around with sin. Many believers today are playing with sin. And Jesus is about to appear. And the Bible teaches that we should be getting our hearts right with God. And we should be looking every day with expectancy. So many people are not looking for Christ to come who are believers because their heart is here in this world. And I pray that if you're a Christian, that you would repent of your sin and open your heart to Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. In our hearts and our heads in prayer, our heads bowed, our hearts quiet. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I urge you today. I urge you right now to open your heart and receive Jesus, so that you can be ready for the return of Christ. If your heart is ready, if you realize that you're a sinner, for all has sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that Jesus died for you, and you want Him to be your Savior, would you repeat this prayer quietly, right in your heart, or at home you could be saying it out loud if you want, a prayer like this, but it's got to be, you got to mean it with all your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I make no excuse. I now believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that He died for me. I now accept Him to be my Savior. I invite Him in my heart and in my life. And I ask You, Lord, please, please help me to begin to live for You. Give me eternal life. and help me to serve you and live for you until the rapture or upon my death. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're a Christian and you have received Christ, you've done that already. Are you living for Him? What world are you living for? If you're going to live for this world, it's not going to be very long. We need to be living for Christ. Maybe you've gotten away from God, or maybe you're not as close to God as you should be, and you know it. Maybe there's some things about the world that you have adopted and brought into your life. I'm going to challenge you now to pray this prayer and mean it with all your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm one of your children. God, I'm not where I should be spiritually. I've allowed some things in my heart that has kept me at a little distance from you. I now realize it's sinful. I ask you, God, to forgive me, please. And to start helping me, Lord, so that I can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I love you, God. Thank you for dying for me, Lord Jesus. Help me now from this day forward to rededicate my life and make it count for Jesus. Help me, Lord, also to keep my eyes open for your return, to look with expectancy for Jesus to come back again. In Jesus' name, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you receive Christ as your Savior, congratulations. What a wonderful thing. I did it a long time ago, and I never regretted it as a young man. And I encourage you to begin your walk with God on a daily basis. Read the Bible. Read the Gospel of John first. Stay in the New Testament. And pray every day that you'll be more like Him. And look for Jesus to come every day. Christian, if you prayed that prayer and you repented of your sin, I'm going to encourage you. Start living for Jesus. Start telling your friends, telling others what Jesus has done for you. Help them to come to realize what you've come to believe. Let me close this prayer in closing, and then I'll give the announcements. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, we're all looking for your Son to return. We know that He can come at any time and any hour. And Lord, help us to live expecting Jesus to return today, every day. Help us, Lord. We know the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, but help us to keep focused on Jesus. Be with those who may receive Christ at home, that they would start to grow in their Christian faith, and that God, you would help all of us to witness and share Christ at this time of crisis in our land and in the world. Bless now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just give you a few announcements. Wednesday night at 7:30, there's a Bible study. And the Bible study this week is going to continue. We've been speaking about the Antichrist 3 weeks ago, and for two lessons in a row. We spoke about the false prophet last week. This week we're going to be speaking on the dragon. We're going to be speaking on the dragon for Revelation chapter 12. The dragon is Lucifer, is Satan. We've been talking about the unholy trinity, the wicked trinity that's out there. Okay, we're going to be doing that and also praying for the needs of our church and also our missionaries. Next Sunday, I'm going to be speaking, and the title of my sermon is Defeating Fear During the Virus Crisis. I'm going to be talking how to defeat the fear, and there's a lot of fear in our land. I'm going to talk to you and speak to you about what the Bible says about defeating fear during the virus crisis. If anyone here has received Christ as their Savior, we rejoice with you. If you want, you can call the church telephone number, 973-751-2247. If you want any additional information and things to help you to grow in your faith, feel free. Anyone has prayer requests, you can send that prayer request also on that telephone number, voicemail. Just leave the mail, the message, and we will get that prayer request out there praying for people. The couples retreat, which was supposed to be the beginning of May, has been postponed until probably the latter part of the summer. As soon as we find out about this virus and how we'll be able to get back to a little normal life, we'll be having something special. And that is a retreat that we're going to have for couples. Okay, things that will help couples to grow in their faith and their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Missions and tithing. If we're going to have an offering, we do ask you to send in your offerings, church, your tithe, and your mission giving. You can send it to the church. You can do two ways. One, you can mail it to 166 Franklin Street. And if you mail it, of course, no cash. Okay? And or you can donate online. You go to the website, areyoucertain.com, silverlakebaptistchurch.com. You can go there. You can hit the clink, and it'll take you right through it step by step how you can donate and support the Lord's ministry. So we also have one more announcement. This is the time to share these messages that they're hearing with your friends, your family. No matter, that's one great thing about the internet. People can be living on the other side of the world, and they can get this. Okay? Tell your friends, your unsaved friends, your families, or believers that don't go to church or whatever. Tell them about what's going on here. Every Sunday, 11 o'clock, a message from the Word of God. Every Wednesday night, 7:30, another Bible lesson. And right now, we're doing Bible prophecy. Hopefully, in another month or next month, we're probably going to be speaking about nations. Nations that are mentioned in the Bible that are going to be involved in the tribulation period. So more than likely, we'll be speaking about that. Okay, that's all we have to say right now. And we have a closing clip. Okay, we have a closing clip, and then we're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to pray that God would use it. I pray that you be safe. Pray for us. We're going to be praying for you. God bless you. Question is, are you ready? Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful so much for the Word of God. We can trust the Bible, Lord. We can't trust man, but we can trust you. Everything you say that's going to happen will happen. And Lord, we're praying now that you would help us so that we can be men and women of faith, living in a world where there's so much trouble and uncertainty. And we're praying, God, for those who view this morning that may not know Christ. We pray that they would receive Jesus and open their hearts. We pray for believers to be what they should be, faithfully following Christ. And Lord, help us to be ready, ready for your return at any moment, at any time. May you be glorified, and Father, show mercy to this country and to this world for the many people that are sick and dying. We pray, God, for their healing, but we trust you, Lord. And Lord, we're looking for you to return. And Lord, maybe even tonight. Bless now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.